I was a kid, life was just easier. It was simpler. I mean, your entire world was so much smaller. I mean, I remember growing up at my parents' place, and everything seemed so huge. The house seemed huge. Our bedroom seemed huge. We had 8 acres of property, and you'd go outside, and you felt like you could explore that property without end. Like, you could go into the woods, and there was always something new to explore and to learn, and it was just huge, the small world that we lived in. And I remember growing up, and you'd go to school or wherever you were, and people could ask, you know, where you were from. And I could just say my town's name. I could just say, I'm from Innisfil. And they knew where that was. And they're like, yeah, the chicken fry place. They have the best fried chicken in the world. I was like, yeah, Fireside Inn, Innisfil. That's it. That's where I'm from. And that was true for most of my childhood and even into high school. You know, I could say Innisfil, and people would be like, yes, I know where that is. Then I went off to college. The world got much, much bigger. And that's what you do when you go to college, right? You meet all these people from around the nation, all these students, all these professors, and that's one of the first questions they ask you. They ask, where are you from? And at first, that's how I would respond, like I always did. I'd be like, I'm from Innisfil. Okay, where's that? You know, no idea. No idea where Innisfil was. Pulled out a map to show it to him, and I realized it's not even on the map. That was embarrassing. So then I'd have to expand the region. I'd be like, well, it's in the Batesville area. And even that, they were like, where's Batesville at? Okay, well, it's halfway between Indianapolis and Cincinnati if you're on I-74. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay, the southeast part of the state. Okay, I know where you're talking about. So that worked for a little while. And so I got in the habit of just saying, I'm from the Batesville area. You know, like that just kind of was my opening line. Then I went off to Europe for the first time, spent a month over there, and we were in England, in London, and there was a gentleman who we were just talking with and visiting with, and he asked, well, where are you guys from? And we said, well, we're from America. And he was just like, no, duh, you're from America. Like, I can tell by the accent you're from America. Where at in America are you from? And we would be like, well, we're from Indiana. He's just like, I have to be honest with you, we in England, all we know is where New York, Florida, Texas, and California are. That's it. That's all we've got. So Indiana, that's like way in the north, right? I was like, well, our winters are pretty cold, but I wouldn't consider us way in the north, you know? And so that didn't go over very well. And then we'd go down to France, and they would ask, you know, where we're from, and we'd say Indiana. And they just kind of shrugged their shoulders. They had no idea where Indiana was, and they're like, je ne sais pas, you know? And so then I would say, well, Indianapolis. And his eyes lit up, you know, this is the guy that we were talking with in France. And he looks at us and he goes, vroom, vroom? I was like, yes, vroom, vroom. I am from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. That is where I'm from, the Indy 500. And then we went down to Italy and they just didn't care. You know, they were just like, these Americans, you know, and that's a horrible Italian accent, by the way. It's the best I got. But it's amazing. It's one of the first questions when you meet somebody. Where are you from? Does it matter? As if at some level, if we know where they're from, it's going to give us some insight into who this person is. Maybe it does. I don't know. The weird thing is, that question, that idea, for some reason is a big deal in today's gospel. And it really doesn't make sense. Like when you read this story that Christ gives us, this parable, someone asks who's going to be saved, and he talks about entering through the narrow gate, and then he talks about this master of the house who locks the door to the kingdom where the banquet is taking place. And this guy's banging on the door, wanting to have access. And the master of the house does not, when he hears this knocking, say, who's there? What's your name? Who are you? Why are you here? Those are not the questions that he asks, which I think would be the typical response for most of us if someone was knocking at the door. Who are you? Who's there? Instead, the master of the house calls out and says, I do not know where you are from. And I say it's important to today's gospel because he doesn't just say that once. After he says it the first time, the man at the door, he says, well, we ate and drank in your company, and you taught on our streets. But the master of the house just says again, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. There's a book I'm reading right now by Guardini, and it's entitled The End of the Modern World, and I'm about halfway through it. It's a good book. If you have read it, please do not tell me how it ends. Spoiler alert, please. I appreciate that. But he posits a theory, Guardini does. He's a theologian that taught at Munich University. And his theory is that we, in the modern age, modern man, namely us, we don't know where we're from anymore. We are lost in the world. And he says this because he looks out at the world and he realizes that most people, where they consider themselves coming from, is wrong. He says there's three main avenues that people will turn to if they were to explain where they come from, who they are, how did that come about. They would say there's three main places, the first of which is nature itself. So we talk about the human race and we ask, where do we come from? And we point to nature and we say, well, we come from apes. Evolutionary process. Science has taught us this process. And so we come from that. And we can point even to individuals and say, this person comes from their genetic makeup, that their DNA is what makes them who they are. And we can even point to it. We look through the Human Genome Project, and we can point to a part of the genes that's going to describe the color of your eyes, or a part of the gene that's going to talk about the color of your hair, or your personality traits, how tall you're going to be, all these different things. It's there. So there are a lot of people that's where they turn to, and they say, that's where I'm from. This random selection of things. My existence is from that randomness. Or there are those who will point to our culture and they'll say, well, I'm a product of this culture. The way I was raised, I was brought up in this society and it taught me these values. And so that's where I come from. This culture, the society that surrounds me, what is acceptable, what is expected in today's society. And then there's the most dangerous one of all, which is that we come from ourselves. This idea that we can be a self-made man. Then when you look at someone, you ask, where are you from? They would say, well, I set out to achieve these goals, and I wanted to be this kind of person, and I made it happen. I developed who I am, and I am a man of my own choosing. Everything about me, I built for myself. And so we come from ourselves. Now here's the thing. All three of those things can be true, and that's fine. I do think we come from evolution. I think we do come from our genetic makeup. There's no doubt about it. I think we do have something from our culture that's in us. I think there is something to be said about being able to change yourself and develop virtue on your own. Like, that's all fine and dandy. But if that's the baseline of where you come from randomness, from a society that is a world of imagination that is just from our own brainchild as human beings, or personally from ourselves, that we're just creating ourselves, then there's nothing there. There's no foundation. Is it any wonder then today in our society that we look at a younger generation that we have taught that they can choose for themselves everything about themselves. They have complete freedom. It's the American dream. Absolute freedom. There are no limitations. Is it any wonder then that our younger generation, our children being brought up this way, that they can choose whatever? So what do? We say, I'm not going to impose upon you religion. I'm going to let you grow up without religion so that one day you can choose for yourself what you believe. Or we do this with so many other things. You can point to anything that's been in the news and in society today, that we let them choose for themselves. They have no guidance. There's no signpost along the way. And so why is it that we're astounded then that they feel so lost. Because if they have infinite choices before them, they're going to go through life wondering themselves, have I made the right choice? Is this really what's going to make me happy? Or have I made a wrong choice and now I'm going down the wrong path and I've got to change everything and choose this other thing? And they're constantly thinking to themselves, I don't know who I am and I don't know where I'm from because nobody has told me. Nobody has shown me the way. No one has guided me through this. Is it any wonder then when we come to that door that's locked, that the master on the other side says, I don't know where you're from. Why? Because we don't know where we're from. He doesn't recognize where we're from. But that question, where we're from, when you boil it down, it's so simple. And it's so easy. It's childish, really. I'd almost bet that if you were to bring forth just a little child, an innocent child, and you were to ask them, where are you from? I would hope that they would just answer simply and just say, well, I'm from God. God created me. God knit me together in my mother's womb. God instilled in me who I am from the very beginning of time. He knew who I was going to be. He gave me these gifts and these talents. He gave me a destiny. He gave me a purpose. I am not an accident. I'm not a random chance of numbers. I am intentional. I am real. I am here. I am from something holy and entirely good and wholesome and true. That is where I am from. And the crazy thing is, when we take that to its logical end, that means that every single one of us, every one of us, no matter what nation we're from, no matter what tongue we speak, it doesn't matter, we're from the same place. Every human being comes from the same source. This is why the gate is narrow, because we all start at the same place, and the narrow gate is a straight shot. It's right there. We're the ones that stray from the path. We're the ones that go out into the wilderness and the darkness, thinking somehow we're going to find our identity, find the answer to our questions out there. And we wander out there and we get lost, and suddenly we realize maybe I can't even get back. I don't know how to get back. Except we do know how to come back. That's exactly why Christ came amongst us. This was his great message, to teach us how to come back. To teach us that we're from something extraordinarily beautiful, extraordinarily real. And if we can accept that reality, if we can make that our own, then my prayer is that one day, every single one of us in this room, in this church, will be the one standing at that door. And my prayer is that when we hear the Master speak to us, we'll hear him say, I know where you're from. Welcome home. Amen.